prophecy of Zechariah chapter 12. Prophecy of Zechariah chapter 12. And as the Holy Ghost is pleased to help us, we will venture to speak a few things from verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication. They shall look upon me, who may have pierced, and they shall mourn for him, as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. If your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will find your religion in these two chapters, chapter 12 and chapter 13. And until God comes to you, by the Holy Ghost, Christ will still remain to be in your estimation as a root out of a dry ground. As no form will come within it, and your present nature will not tempt this man to reign over you. That is how God finds all his sons and daughters whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. A man's free will and earthly sanctuary and every wisdom has nothing to do with it. And I'm never so thankful for that. What God begins in you, if you're a vessel of mercy, will carry right through this wilderness until the work of sanctification is done. I shall die when God's work is finished in me and not before, and the same applies to you. Thou shalt see my glory soon when the work of grace is done. Now then, you will find how God puts your experience in a very small compass here, and it will stand every part and live at last. There are three parts in the 13th chapter which he speaks of, and that is the profane and the professing world who have nothing to do with God's covenant. And those two parts shall be cut off and die, but the remnant according to the election of grace shall be brought through the fire. And your religion and my religion will be tried by fire. And it is God that performeth the thing which is appointed for us, and many such things are with him. Now God's wisdom is perfect in all his dealings with us, and what he says here he will perform. And where he sows grace, he blesses them with a spirit of grace and of supplication. And there is sincereness in it too, that is real repentance which God implants there, and also godly sorrow. And it is in this teaching where he brings the third part through the fire that he brings them through those fires, that he sits within them as a refiner and a purifier still, that to do what he says here, and they shall look. You see, your wisdom and mine has nothing to do with it. There's no good of free with it, and religious professor trying to patch us up with untempered water because it won't do, friends. God begins it and he continues it. He is his own master builder, and he will see to this and that you and I, if we are his sons and daughters, shall do this wonderful thing here. And he said, and they shall look upon me whom I have pierced. Showing you and me how God deals with our sins and transgressions and iniquities in our unregeneracy, and also those sins of sins of uncleanness after we've been called by grace, because in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. This is a teaching, my friend, known by two Street Baptists today. God is no respect for the person, nation, kindred, or tongue. He knows all his people, Jew and Gentile, in every nation, and he sees them all in sin and under, and also in unbelief, and yet seeing them in this sad and low condition, he searches and seeks them out, and he puts light into their souls, and he brings them into this experience. You cannot accomplish it yourself, and this is God's work, and it's wonderful in counsel and excellent in working, that God the Father should bring people into this time state for this very purpose. He doesn't bring them into the world to destroy them, but he brings them into this time state that they shall know him. Now, because there's a saving knowledge of God, it surpasses all the learning, honor, wealth, and fame and riches in this wilderness. You see, it's no small mercy to be taught of the Lord, because if the Lord handles us, you know, it's an evidence that he loves us. And whom he loves, he calls, and the Holy Ghost awakens. As Timothy said, or saved us, That is in the glory of eternity, he called us with a holy call. Now God's saints are now in glory, all nations, they were brought into this experience. You see, we despise the very provision which God has made for the church, and we do it in ignorance. We are on the same level as the devil. In fact, he's more wiser than us because he knows whom Christ is. But we don't know anything saving yet. We're born into this wilderness. But Satan knew that it was this wonderful Christ of God, that he was the infinite and eternal Son of God, that who cast him out of heaven when he rebelled against God. But, and we inherit his rebellious spirit, and we've got no time for this wonderful Christ, who is the foundation and the rock of our own soul salvation. Now it is a mercy then, if God has taken hold of you. He don't take hold of you to destroy you. You see, he loves his sons and daughters from eternity. But he does deal with them. And it's like a man who knows how to train up wild horses, you know. A novice or an ignorant person might think that he ill-treats them the way he handles them, but he doesn't. And you and I are apt to think that God deals rather cruelly with us, but it is not to destroy us, but to bring us into this sacred, saving knowledge of doing what he has said. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. That is, your sins have been laid upon Christ. And he does it by painful things in righteousness, but it is God in you and I who sits as a refiner and a purifier of silver to do this. You see, you think it's strange because of the way the Lord handles you. I do and have done. Nevertheless, it's been the right way, you know, because if you've got a mic to call your own, you'll never get a full discharge. He won't allow you and me to bring any merit in our hands to find grace in his sight. You've got to be completely lost before you are perfectly saved, friends. You see, there is a weakness in many of God's people who live the natural, good, moral, upright life to presume that God looks upon them with favor. He doesn't. He loves all his people, whether he finds them in the slime pit or in the field. He's no respecter of the person. He knows every one of them, and he will teach them that they are saved by grace and not by works. If God used partiality toward one child or another, he wouldn't be the God in the heavens. God is a just God and a great Savior, and there's no partiality with it. There is sovereignty, I do confess. But you see, the child of God who's got a self-righteous spirit in them, they despise this wonderful Christ just as much as another child of God who may live a publican life or a harlot. You see, that's the blessed provision God's people despise and reject. And you know, few if any come to Jesus to reduce the self-despair. And when he gives you grace, hands, and his light shines within you and shows you in the furnace and tribulation that you've got a heart like a cesspool, you know, which will make you shake from head to foot, where you will tremble before it. And if I know anything about it, tears of roll down my cheeks, and I trembled from head to foot, and told the Lord that if he struck me there for the abominations which he showed me in my heart, I couldn't change them, or nor alter them, nor control. Now you see, the more he shows you and me our sinnership, the more we should build on a foundation which won't let us down. You see, it's wise, gracious souls that build upon Christ, and as he exhorts his people in the prophecies, and look unto me, and be ye saved, or the end of the earth, for I am God, and that is none else. Now, do you and I know anything about this spirit of supplication and repentance? Because when the Lord comes in grace, he puts a new living principle in us, and makes our sins, which we've lived in an unregenerate state, to be exceedingly sinful, and makes us wise unto salvation, and he turns our feet toward his testimonies. And whatever company we may have been in, he brings us out of it, from walking in the counsel of the ungodly, or standing in the ways of sinners, or sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now, has God brought you to look upon Jesus, whom your sins have pierced? One of the most sweetest times on this earth you'll ever have with Jesus. When you look upon him, my friend, by the blessed revelation and light of the Holy Ghost, you will see what your sins justly deserve. You don't see sin in God's sight exceedingly sinful under the law. The law enters and gives you a knowledge of its holiness. But when you are led by the blessed Spirit with passive faith, that Jesus Christ is the sinner's hiding place, and he shows you the wonderful dying love, blood and smile of his dear Son, in being delivered for your offenses and raised again for your justification, and then you will be able to sing, I know that I am born of God. Or you will see what your sins justly deserve, that dreadful wrath of God which was poured upon Christ, but being your wrath of God, you know God's wrath will be poured out upon all those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whatever age or case they may be, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands assured here, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that it is. Information of the letter of the Scripture is no evidence that that professor has been brought to walk on this holy ground. You may be a simple illiterate clod like myself and couldn't repeat many Scriptures, but to be brought and taught to the Holy Ghost, you know, why, this is the greatest favor God can bestow upon all his people. And as he has chosen in Christ Jesus, he brings them to stand on this pastoral ground. You see, when you are brought here, you will be able to rejoice in Christ Jesus, that this Christ loves you with an everlasting love and is delivered for your offenses and raised again for your justification. And as he looks upon you and you look upon him in that dying condition, you will understand his wonderful love towards you, because he loves you so well. He laid down his life to redeem you from hell. Now this is a truth not to be passed over, because God has said they shall. I mean, say, if you have what I call a charlatan parson up here who avoids all these fundamental things, friend, you know he's a traitor to himself, and it's a proof it never happened. You must be brought into it, and all God's people brought into it this side of eternity. My godly mother sung those lines, well, gave utterance to those lines as you died in that thing you just sung. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. But she had her sins forgiven when she was 15, and she was nearly 80 when she died, so you see the work is carried on. And it is a wonderful thing if you are brought to the knowledge of your own soul salvation by the remission of your sin. And I will call upon the house of David, and this is an evidence that you belong to the house of David, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, spirit of grace and supplication. You see, there's real religion here, friends. All everything in religion outside of this is empty notion, because there's no supplication in a person's prayer through the dead form that they might have a family altar. But here you see the sanctifying work of the Blessed Spirit. And what a wonderful reversing that is in your life and mine when God comes to do this. Christ has no room in our heart by nature. No, that he hasn't. You see, Christ will remain in your heart and affection as a root out of the dry ground until you are taught and led by the Spirit of God and the glimpse of Christ. From time to time before you, he takes you into the banquet of heaven. It's a wonderful mercy, because there is encouragement in it, but there is a full of assurance within the experience. And when you are drawn to Christ by the Spirit, my friend, and look upon Christ whom your sins are pierced, oh, how you have a different understanding of this wonderful Christ. You see a wonderful beauty in him and satisfaction, and you know you will understand a little what your first sin consisted of. Speaks of Adam's complete ruin, all flesh and blood in this time state. But when the second Adam came, the serpent suckled, hid the bruise, that cancelled his malicious claim. That is to say, he held you, and like the lamb, and like the lion had held the jaw, the lion held the lamb in his jaws, David slew and took life. And Satan holds us all captives, you know, as we come into this world, by that wonderful Christ who came into this world to cancel Satan's malicious claim and disappoint his devilish views. You see why sinners are led captive to the devil country. They've got one appetite, they've got no time for God, his Sabbath, nor religion, but everything which pleases their natural minds, and God's people are found among them from one generation unto another. Nevertheless, God never goes back on his word, because the Son said, all thine are mine, and mine are thine. And I am glorifying him. and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Nay, well, my friend, it's my sin that have pierced Christ. We know they used to tell us it was the Roman soldiers that pierced him when they took the Sunday school lesson, but when you are born of God, you are taught of God. And he showed you, my friend, plainly, how your sins and transgressions are being dealt with by God himself, as he lays all your sins and transgressions upon his beloved Son. Now that is salvation by grace, absolute. And here it is done to the very extent. It is so deep and vast that we cannot really and rightly speak of love until we get to heaven. And here it is love. You see, the wrath of God must fall somewhere, and we read in the next chapter those words, "The weight of the sword against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will lay my hand upon the little ones." Now God's wrath was spent in Christ. If God put his finger wrong on you personally, or me, you know it will consume us. Jesus bore only what his incarnate nature could bear. You see, it was both God and Christ. You see, it was his blessing, divinity that sustained him under everything he passed through. And when a child of God is called and enlightened by the Holy Spirit, then they are brought to see how God has laid all his people's sins and transgressions upon his beloved Son, who was delivered of their offenses and raised again for their justification. And such an experience will encourage you to love him in return. The law of God in a holy and righteous law will never constrain you to love God. It strikes the soul with dread, God's majesty over Christ. He is consuming fire over Christ, but in his beloved Son is full of pity and joy with power. And to know your sins forgiven, my friend, is a most blessed and divine favor. And a glimpse of that in a lesser or a greater measure will constrain you to love Jesus in return. You will see a beauty in it. My friend, these things are real. And actually, my experience is in a nutshell, and it's a wonderful mercy that I can trace something of this refiner in my pathway, where he makes me manifest that I belong to the third part, and he still sits within me as a refiner and a purifier of silver, showing me more and more that I bear the image of the devil, and that there's not a scrap of holiness in me. And what is it for? Well, it is that I might offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now, that offering is the offering of his beloved Son, who condescended to offer himself as a sin offering for the church, who condescended to be delivered for their offenses and raised again for their justification. And here in his love, not that we love God, but that God first loved us. Now, do you know what it is to get a little glimpse of Christ in your sanctified pathway? There are sweet places, you know, and there are sweet meditations. Sometimes, you know, we reel under God's rod and corrections or painful tribulations as our poor old flesh passes through the various fires. But, you know, it is a wonderful mercy when he graciously draws us from ourselves and draws us to his beloved Son and enlightens us and shows us that his way is much rougher and darker than ours. Well, it is a wonderful thing, you know, to be found suffering the reproaches of Christ in your home or inside from Satan or in your employment. You can't expect any mercy from the devil after you've been passed from death unto life. No, Satan will be your enemy from that time onward. But of course, you will be finally delivered from Satan and the dreadful power of indwelling sin when your appointed time comes, when you must lay down and die. But you will have this secret testimony with you, and God will renew it. And you see, you cannot live your life without being brought into this experience. Because you see, it is made so precious to a child of God. While they enjoy it, thank God, he explains to us the effects of the absence of Christ after we've had his love and presence. You see, we're not only brought to look upon him and our sins are pierced, and we are brought to hate ourselves and loathe ourselves because of our doings that were not good. And he blesses with real repentance and godly sorrow, where we are dissolved by his goodness and we fall to the ground and weep for the praise of the mercy found, though he said here, "And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son." You see the distinction, my friend, here between the Holy Ghost religion and a dead professor. Now, do you know what it is to mourn the absence of Christ? Oh, an absent God, you know, we have to mourn it sometimes. If you and I didn't have at the mourning time, we should never value the presence of Christ. As God said, in thy presence I am happy, Lord. In thy presence I am secure. But one who might have put it into proper words, where he says, thy shining grace and cheer, this dungeon where I dwell, this paradise where now I feel, and absent then is hell. Well, you know the word hell among our people and a good many other professors. Well, they say that man, he's too forthright, brother him right as well. And if your hell on this earth, friend, isn't the absence of Christ, you've got a poor religion, you know. I reckon I've gone through a lot of hell in tribulation in the flesh. But that's not my word, tribulation, friend. Now I go through anything and suffer all things for Christ's sake and his presence with me. Oh, my friend, trial. Without the presence of Jesus, a bitter morsel for a child of God. You see, to be in darkness and passing through tribulation when you cannot find Jesus in the vessel, you can't smile at the storm. And this explanation here is perfect, because everything in the scriptures is perfect and makes you mourn for him as one mourns for his only son. Now, a mother would mourn more for an only son than a mother who had 13 children and only lost one, wouldn't she? You know, God, he doesn't put things so complicated for us that we can't understand them. It's all in plain English, as we call it. You know what it is to mourn an absent Jesus in your employment or in your home? You may have plenty of what I call earthly comfort. Actually, I stand in need of nothing, really, in a providential way. And like I used to 45 years ago when I used to sweep the streets of London with only one shirt in the back and didn't know where the next loaf of bread was coming. But today I don't pass through that, but I pass through bodily suffering. And yet, you see, now sometimes in a providential trial you might enjoy more of Christ than the vessel. But there will be seasons in your soul experience where you will walk this earth in yourself, and if you don't walk it out, friend, when you come to die, you will find out what you thought you had in your soul experience will be taken away. You see, these are the things and the changes and the evidences which support a child of God. Them that have no changes, fear not God. It's like sometimes where a hymn has been blessed and you return for it and you can't draw any sweetness out of it. And Satan says, no, you didn't get that applied at all, but you did because Satan can't bring it back to you. It's like application through the means of grace under the word or in private in order or in your lawful calling. You know, where God comes, or my friend, he comes with majesty. And there is a real absence of darkness when Jesus is absent. Now, not only the piercing shall they look upon him in that pierced, glorified, crucified condition, where he showed them that he loved them so well, he laid down his life to redeem them from hell, that they should mourn an absent Jesus. And I feel I do a lot of that more than I can enjoy the presence of God. Oh, sometimes a child of God, they go into such deep mourning for the absence of Christ, they think, they say to themselves, well, I go there and he's fine. Yes, and you will do sometimes. You know, the Spirit, she spoke a language. And when they asked her, what is thy beloved more than another beloved, that thou so charge us? You know, she was anxious. She wasn't enjoying the presence of God, but she was mourning her best beloved. Jesus doesn't change his mind toward his people. No, that he doesn't. But you see, there are times of absence. And sometimes, you know, we do things which bring about a separation. And guilt may lie heavy upon the conscience, nevertheless, there's a throne of grace to come to, where we may confess our sins and find grace for help in a time of need. Well, if you can find a child of God in deep mourning because they haven't got God with them, and they have to mourn an absent God, they walk in fellowship with Christ because he knew what it was to be tempted and forsaken too. And you'll get plenty of help from Satan and his fiery dark, and the malice of hell when you're walking in darkness. Well, you consider what a favored person you are to be brought into fellowship with Christ in these wonderful things, because there's eternal life in this religion, you know, friend. Well, there's no doubt about that. Just because we mourn in absence, that is to say it changes the world. You know, people always, they are always sad, there's no spot in them. And it is a wonderful thing, my man.
to be brought here, and not to take an offense at what the Spirit says, where he says he will open the fountain for sin and hand for uncleanness. You know, you'd be surprised the uncleanness you got in your heart if God has shined within you and the Holy Ghost. I staggered when he showed me. And I wonder what he's going to show me the next day. It's a perpetual chastening or judging here. It isn't because you did in sin, but it's because the Lord of sin is in you. That's what it is. And you see, Pharisees, they get offended at the word of sin and uncleanness. But if we weren't full of it, our own nature, well, it would never be left on record, friends. You know, we don't have to tell you the word of God. I don't mind doing how many people reject my preaching, as long as I walk out the pulpit with an answer to the good conscience that I set before the people what God has made me walk in. And you see, I should never find anything else in my whole heart, only sin and uncleanness. And he says, I will save you out of all your uncleannesses. That is to say, God multiplies pardon, and his blood keeps cleansing us from all sin. Sin returns, doesn't it? Yes, well, that's your portion here. That's God judging you, and bringing you to the light that your deeds might be made manifest that they are wrought in God. But the other two parts in this chapter, you know, they're never brought into that. Jesus doesn't sit as a refiner and a purest part of silver in a basket. No, they don't. There's a lot of professors, you know, who are bastards in this world, but you don't sit as a refiner nor a purest part of silver. You see, the worse your matter is in the body, the more you'll bend to your surgeon, won't you, or medical attention. So with a child of God. Sin to sell is hell your time, rising up against your mind, nor will Satan bear to say, thou hast stood the way. No, you haven't. You're the very person that's in the narrow way. Because people who do not walk out this experience is an evidence they're not in it themselves. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life, and he speaks to the afflicted people where he says, and thou shalt hear the voice behind thee saying, this is the way, and walk in it. When you turn to the right hand and turn to the left, you'll surely want to turn out of this pathway which God brings you into. There's no excitement in the religion of the child of God. There is none in Christ. Lord, it is a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. I mean to say, it's simple and plain, friends. Unless we are brought into this, how can we really have any room in our heart for the wonderful person and the work of Jesus who condescended to come in the fullness of time, to assume our nature yet without sin, and to be made of a woman made under the law to redeem his people from the curse of the law. Well, I never used to think about Christ any like a piece of dry root out of the ground in my unregeneration. Anybody talk to me like that? He don't impress me. I used to get rid of my feelings in the world, you know. I should love that all kinds of professors in my unregeneracy. And I knew they hadn't got a religion, and it's not worth a pack of cards because I knew it didn't hurt. And lined up with my godly parents' standards. If we're brought up in a godly hand, we can soon size up a good professor's religion, can't we? I think we can. If you've got strict parents, you bless God for it. I'm glad I had some strict ones. Nothing to bring me, friend. Yes, and you know, God will be just as strict in his law to professors whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, you see, this wonderful love of God reveals to his people sins by smiting the shepherd, and that is his beloved Son. That's where his wrath was poured out upon. That's where he rests in his love. You see, that's why he sees in his people no spot or even wrinkle. But he chose in his beloved Son, and his Son condescended to come in the fullness of time to suffer the just for the unjust, to bring them to God. Actually, the word ungodly comes to every child of God when we were yet without strength to turn to God or no God. In due time, Christ came to die for the ungodly. And it is that through Christ and by him that you and I have been reconciled to God. Nothing reconciled us to God and not ourselves, not even a reformed life. But Jesus does the whole. He brings about the reconciliation. As Paul says, and if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, we were reconciled, we should be saved by his life. This is where the church will be presented in that last great day, when those books are open, when all these saints will be gathered unto it. You know, when he will, when that last trump shall sound, time shall be no more. and some of God's dear saints will be on the earth, and they will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and they shall be gathered up with him and live together. And my friend, they will sing that blessed song unto him that loved us and washed us in his own blood. Well, now, you know anything about the morn? Oh, sometimes I have to dig deep, you know, with all the experiences I've passed through. And how we do look back to a time when we were constrained to go before the church, and the love of God constrained us. And, you know, since then, all the changes we've passed through, and sometimes you go down so deep, and some go down deeper than others, and you feel that you can't lay claim to anything. Well, what you stand in need of is what Christ said, in that believeth on the Son, I am the resurrection and the life, in that believeth on the Son. Now, I've got that wrong, don't I? But anyway, until Christ comes again and fulfills what he said, because I give, and ye shall live also. You see, in 7 Niah, he tells us how he will leave in Zion afflicted and poor people. Not just in their bodies nor circumstances, but in their souls. And other things will be added to them according to the sovereignty of God. But do we know, friends, anything about this vital economy? You know, there's no eternal life in any other experience. If God standeth and I shall not be heard, though sometimes I get to the end of the earth and I call into question all my ministry and the clearness of the Lord coming to me before he sent me into the ministry. Actually, the Lord kissed me into the ministry because he so overcame me. Over 28 years ago, when I was soaring logs in my woodshed and I was working for the Americans, that his love was so powerful that I couldn't go on with my natural work, and I asked the Lord what did it mean. And I said, Lord, if it's for the ministry, I said, make it clear. And he made it clear for me because there was a letter on the mantelpiece asking me to go to preach at Burgess Hill. But you know, unbelief in me, the same is in you, my friend. It will call into question every favor and visitation that visited you with sometimes. You'll often meet the child of God who's been in the hospital, and the operation's been richly sanctified. And the friend will say, I hope I had that. You see, if he had the same sweetness with him, he would have a greater assurance that you will find in your pilgrimage, both in grace and in providence, that he will try everything by fire. And that is your mercy. You see, you don't live presumptuously, but the fire should try every man's work. As what sort it is. And nevertheless, you see that what the Lord begins, he carries on, you know, and he will perform what he said here. I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them. The silver is refined, and I will try them with gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Well, now, does your religion drive you to God? He drives plenty of the fact that in the self-destruction and worldly service, if you've got the religion of Jesus Christ, you'll find it under the most heaviest strokes, that it will bend you toward that blessed Christ, who is the friend of sinners, and who says unto the people, come unto me all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, may you find that standard in your soul's experience, friend, in a lesser or a greater measure, because if you do, it is an evidence that you pass from death unto life, and you will love the truth, and you will love the real brethren. And I am fully persuaded that by knowing anything about it, now, though the way is rough and thorny and dark, and you have to endure the malice of hell and Satan, and persecution and reproach from the world or dead relations, we shall at times find a light shines upon our pathway. And certainly seasoned by Christ, as one said, Jesus, let thy soft the word thy Savior speak, and kind the promise he makes, whose degree shall he not break, nor quench that smoking flesh. Now, you must hold you to Christ, not to Moses' law, where as an iron rod, God will never forgive your sins by the law, nor by reforming in the flesh. We are freely forgiven, justified completely by and through the person and the work of Christ. And it can be said of God's dear people, that is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus.
who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
And actually, the more you know the pride of your own heart, the more you walk after Christ. You see, it is the thing that the conflict in the flesh that makes you come to Christ in the best of all positions, one who understands the body and understands the soul, and who looks with pity and compassion upon his people's conflict. One said he sees the struggle that prevails, the tricks the powers of grace in sin, finding listeners. Well, they fail, a bit of panic, they feel with it. You can tell Christ everything, you might go to the Strip Baptist, and they might not understand you, but you take it to Christ for better. He's the blessed interpreter, and he can make it plain. And that's the best directed place I can direct weak believers who can't come up to the stronger meat preachers, is to take their religion to the Lord. You know, that's what one of old did. And when she wasn't sure of her state naturally, she went and inquired of the Lord, and he told her, there are two nations in your room, and the elder should serve the younger. So grace will finally have the dominion over sin and Satan in God's truth. And when that the work of grace is done, then, my friend, that enter into glory with the Lord and to be forever with him. And what a wonderful journey. In complete holiness and happiness, where his people know no more of raging hell or restlessness.